Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Have you ever picked up the Bible hoping, wishing, even praying that it would just tell you in plain language what God's will is for you? Well, in truth, probably all of us have had this experience or something similar. But in fact, there is a very clear word in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And then it goes on in verse 18 to tell us, "Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled in spirit." That's it. God's will is clear for you and me. Be filled in spirit. But what is it to be filled in our spirit? Francis Ball has joined us for fellowship today on this marvelous point. Francis, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here.
It's good to know today that what God really desires for us is not for us to do a lot of things, but to be filled in spirit, Francis.
Yes, that's the key thing for everything else that is required.
Francis, we continue today this major section of Ephesians that's covered, well, opened up, I would say, by the first verse in chapter 4. Just to remind our listeners, it said, "I beseech you, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called." A walk worthy of the calling that we've received from the Lord. And that somewhat sums up this whole long section in Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5, clear into chapter 6. And between that verse in chapter 4 and where we are today, what we just read a moment ago in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 5, Paul gives us 5 items that are associated with having a walk that's worthy of this calling. In chapter 4, we saw the first two. First was keeping the oneness. Second was growing up into Christ, the head of the body. And now in chapter 5, we have 3 marvelous things for our walk. We'll get to the 5th one today, but let's review a little bit, numbers 3 and 4. Do you recall those for us?
Well, those two points about our walk has to do with love and light. He tells us to walk in love. And also he says walk in light. And these are the 2 things that have been mentioned earlier in the broadcast, in previous broadcasts, that is, which tells us to walk in grace and in truth.
Uh-huh.
And we find out today that grace has its source in love, and truth has its source in light. So while we're talking about walking in grace and truth, that is really marvelous. But not so marvelous and not so deep as love and light. So these 2 things we'll see something today. Love and light, and what it is to walk in these 2 matters.
Of course, the Bible tells us that God is love and God is light. So to walk in love and light must imply that we're walking in God himself, Francis.
That's really what we're aiming at in this message.
Well, again, Paul picks up the matter of our walk. As you just pointed out, we've had a walk. First, it has to be worthy of our calling, and walking in love, walking in light, walking in grace, walking in truth have all been mentioned before. Now, in chapter 5, verse 15, he says, "Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord, and then giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to our God and Father." Finally, verse 21, being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And this verse, I think, sets up a lot of the things that come after that people normally associate with chapter 5 of Ephesians, all these relationships that are brought out, the husband, the wife, the children and parents, the slave and the master. But if we, as we'll see today, if we get to those without touching, especially this verse 18, we've really missed it, haven't we, Francis?
That's right, and I'm anxious to see how this is going to be applied, because we're all longing to be obedient and to walk in the way that the Lord wants us to. But how to do this is not just by some self-will. We'll find out how that can be accomplished.
Mm. Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. Let's join Witness Lee with his first portion today.
Now we come to cover this one thing, that is the mingled spirit. Here, to be filled in spirit means to be filled in our regenerated spirit. The spirit indwelt by the Spirit of God. So, the next half of chapter 5, including the first part of chapter 6, all these are the exhortation in this one item. That is, we have to be filled in our spirit. We shouldn't be empty in our spirit. Our spirit must be filled up with all the riches of Christ until the fullness of God. To study such a chapter, it is not so easy to get to the main item, because too many points here. As you have so many good points in this long chapter, the more you read, the more you love those good points. Then as you love those good points, you just miss the main item. Out of 1,000 readers of Ephesians 5, if they are males, they all pay attention to the verses, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. If they are females, they will pay attention to husband, love your wives. So, they got distracted from the main item. And what is the main item? Is to be filled. To be filled in your spirit. When you will be filled in your spirit with all what Christ is, until the fullness of God, then, as wives, surely it's easy to subject yourself to the husband. And as husband, sure it's easy to love the wife. And it's easy also for the children to obey the parents, for the parents to take care of the children. It's also easy for the slaves to obey the masters, and for the masters to treat the slaves in a proper way. All these virtues come out from one thing, from the spirit that is filled with Christ, even until the fullness of God.
Well, he gave us an overview, and he gave us the main point, and he gave us a good conclusion there at the end, Francis. That section pretty well sums up what we're talking about today. I was thinking, as he was reflecting on Ephesians chapter 5, how many Bible studies do you suppose there have been on husbands love your wives and wives submit yourselves to your own husbands? Just as important, or maybe more important, how few studies have there been on verse 18?
That's right. I am thinking now of a lot of weddings that I've been in, and even have conducted weddings, calling attention to these verses that have to do with wives and husbands, and even when trying to help families, to call attention to the children, obey your parents. All of these things are so outstanding in chapter 5 to our thinking, our natural thought, how we can accomplish this. But all the time, just as he said, we've lost the view of the main commandment that has to be kept for any of these things to be realized.
Talk about that, Francis. He said near the end here, when we're filled in our spirit with all that Christ is unto the fullness of God, then for the wives to submit, it's easy. For the children to obey, it's easy. These relationship problems seem to somehow sort of drift away, don't they?
That's right. All of these commands that we pay so much attention to in chapter 5 are after the verse on being filled in spirit. And really, to be filled in spirit is the way all these things are spontaneously carried out. They're not commands that we try to stir ourselves up to keep, but really to be filled in spirit unto the fullness of God. When we're filled that way, there's no problem with our loving, with our submitting, with our obeying, and with our being a right kind of slave or the right kind of master.
The matter of what it is to be filled in spirit is now going to be the focus of the rest of the program today, because in fairness, I think one of the reasons that over the years, centuries really, verse 18 gets not enough treatment is that there's a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about what it is to be filled in spirit. And the Pentecostals have one kind of understanding, and the fundamentalists have another kind of understanding. But it's not just a matter of getting the right understanding. We want to get the right filling, don't we?
Amen. That's right.
Let's go back to Witness Lee, pick up this crucial part of the fellowship today.
Pay your attention to this being filled. I know all the Pentecostal charismatic persons paid their attention to this verse. But, you know, they understand the Spirit here as the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Ghost. And they mean be filled in the Holy Ghost, that is to speak in tongues. From Ephesians 5, according to proper text, that your spirit, your regenerated spirit, need to be filled. Because your spirit is flight. Like a tire, flight, short of pneuma. Your spirit on your Christian journey is a flat tire. Everyone drives the car is afraid of a flat tire, right? Yet, this is your situation. Get your spirit filled with pneuma.
Amen.
Making it pneumatic.
Amen.
This is the right meaning. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine. Here you have the contrast between the body, the belly, and the spirit. To be drunken is to be filled in your belly. But to be filled with Christ is to be filled in your spirit. Day by day we need our spirit to be filled up. The result of this infilling is the speaking to one another. Listen to this. This speaking is not the speaking in ordinary talks, but the speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, our concept is that psalms, hymns, and songs are all for singing. But Paul says, firstly, this should be for speaking. Have you ever thought about this? That the songs, hymns are not only good for singing, but firstly, good for speaking. Let us speak. Speak one to another. You speak the first line, I speak the second line. And the brothers shout with the first line, and the sisters answered with the second line. My, speaking back and forth the whole hymn. Isn't this wonderful?
Francis, I think there were three key points in this last section that we should try to touch in the time we have allotted. First of all, the spirit that's being filled here, which spirit are we really talking about? And the confusion. Let's talk about that.
Well, what we have to realize first, Chris, is that that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, according to John chapter 3.
Uh-huh.
So our spirit is a main part of our being, because it is born of God when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that we realize we have a spirit, an organ within us that touches God. Not only that, but the Spirit comes into our spirit. That's the Holy Spirit that comes into our spirit. We have a spirit, and that spirit is where we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So these commandments that we make so much of in Ephesians 5 are really the result of being filled in spirit. Even our singing and our psalming and our speaking are really what comes out of being filled in spirit. So this is our spirit. that I'm talking about today.
Yeah, he made an allusion to a flat tire needing to be filled, and that leads me to the second point I thought we could maybe talk about a little bit, and that is he uses this word pneuma, pneumatic. Help us understand what he means here.
Well, pneumatic, of course, the word pneuma is the same as the word breath or air. And so for our spirit to be filled is just like a tire being filled full of air. When we have our being full of Christ, full of the Spirit, when we're filled in our spirit with the Holy Spirit, then we are filled up with this pneumatic living.
Right.
Pneumatic means of life. It's the spirit of life, and it's the life that comes out of being filled that is doing the speaking, the singing, and the psalming that he talked about.
Yeah, even, of course, I think we should point out the word pneuma is the Greek word that's translated as spirit. And so it's also the same word, as you said, for air. So to be filled in our spirit with the Spirit is this picture of a tire being inflated is not too bad, is it?
That's right. That's a very good illustration.
Okay, now the third thing, you've already mentioned it a couple of times. Let's come back to it for just a minute. The speaking that is brought out here. First, it seems like, in one sense, it's the result of being filled. Our speaking will be full of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, even speaking one to another. But it's also a kind of speaking that helps us to get filled, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Just speaking the name of the Lord helps a great deal to get filled. Just saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. This is speaking. And this kind of speaking, calling on the name of the Lord and speaking the word of God, as he brings out here, speaking the psalms and the hymns. It's not just that we sing them, but we learn to speak them. And that really brings in a filling. So it's both a cause for our being filled and a result of our being filled.
Yeah.
So speaking, singing, and psalming are really key points that give reality to this matter of being filled in spirit.
And then in our final segment today, we're going to come to the next verse in the sequence, which we read a moment ago. I'll touch it again. It's verse 20. And it begins, giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to our God and Father, being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And again, giving thanks, if we have taken care of the filling in verse 18, it's more of a spontaneous reaction to God rather than something we have to consciously decide, oh, I need to be sure and thank God now.
Yeah, that's right. When we're filled in spirit, it's just giving thanks. This is spontaneous.
Well, let's go to Witness Lee for this last portion, Francis.
Giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. If you read chapter 5, you could see what fear is here. That is the fear of offending the headship, the fear of offending the body, not angering the head. We must have such a fear. Under such a fear, or in such a fear, we are subject one to another. I tell you, this kind of a speaking, singing, psalming, and thanking life, this kind of life is a life of subjection. When we are speaking the songs, hymns, and psalms, and when we are singing these poetries, when we are psalming these poetries, and when we are giving thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, we are so willing to submit ourselves one to another. When we all are submitting ourselves to Christ the head and to the body, we will have no problem. We will have no problem. But listen, this submitting comes from what? Comes from the speaking, singing, psalming, and thanking. And this speaking, singing, psalming, and thanking come from what? From the infilling. See? When we are filled in our spirit, we speak, we sing, we psalm, and we thank. Then what? Spontaneously, we become the submitting people.
Well, Francis, I think our experience surely confirms, echoes his word here. When we are in really experiencing this infilling, and the utterances that are proceeding out of our lips are psalms and hymns and praises and thanksgiving to God, somehow this subjecting or submitting ourselves one to another just isn't such a problem. But if we try it any other way, it is a steep mountain to climb, isn't it?
It sounds like you've had some experience along this line, too. I surely can echo that. The real secret of submission is not to try to submit. That's the hardest thing a person can try to do, and a sure failure.
Right.
So if we're filled in spirit, and our spirit is full of the pneumatic Christ, we have no problem of singing, psalming, giving thanks, and when we give thanks, we have no problem of submitting. And these, what we usually refer to as commandments in this chapter, are all can be fulfilled just by that kind of living, singing, psalming, speaking, and giving thanks. And then spontaneously you can submit. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Well, that's only possible by being filled in spirit. And husbands, love your wives. That also is possible only by being filled in spirit. So when we get irritated or anything like that, the best thing to do is speak a hymn and sing a song.
Right.
And psalm. And just say, the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, honey. And you just will submit spontaneously. And even children, if they learn to be filled in spirit at an early age, my, what a joyous family that can be. So all these things, even on our job, we're the employee. We need to be filled in spirit in order to satisfy the job we're doing. And actually, mainly, this is what we would call the body life.
It is.
Submitting one to another. And we can do that by being filled in spirit. Not being drunk with wine or anything else that just fills up our physical body. But being filled in our human spirit, which has been regenerated and is now indwelled by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, when we're in that experience, that enjoyment, that condition, our submitting to Christ is spontaneously becomes our submitting to Christ in the members. So our submitting to the body is still our submitting to Christ the head, because we recognize the Lord in one another, which for some reason when we're not so filled, it's a lot harder to recognize him in there, isn't it?
That's right. And this is a key thing for the body life.
Yeah.
When we're living with one another so much in this kind of communion and fellowship, the way to keep that is by being filled in spirit.
Well, good to have you as always, Francis, and I think we've experienced a little filling here ourselves in the radio studio as we've touched this matter and listened to his fellowship. I feel a lot brighter than I did when we began today, so there must have been some filling going on.
I feel the same way.
Right. Well, that's important, and I think if you listening take away something from today's program, we hope you'll take away this matter of speaking. He gave almost an illustration there about how to speak. Even the lines from a genuine hymn back to one another, there's a real filling that results from that, and we encourage you all to give it a try, especially with your husband or your wife.
Right. Amen.
Well, our time is up. We have the printed material that I think would be a good one for this program, particularly this life study message, where he's touching things that we've all experienced, we can all relate to, and there are some real handles here, I think is the right way to describe it, especially related to these verses 17 and 18 about being filled and then spontaneously experiencing what comes after. So we hope you'll contact us as we continue in this life study of Ephesians and in this journey as he described it, and we hope you'll join us for that. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.